Just want to thank Father Aaron. He's the one who really put together the Passion Gospel. We had done that years ago and just dropped it. And Aaron suggested it last year, and I love that. That's a great liturgical thing to do, a great Jewish thing to do. Just want to remind you now, before, instead of doing it at the end, just what this week is about. I just encourage you to take advantage of every opportunity. Aaron does a Eucharist at 5:30, at 7 in the morning, 5:30, come as much as you can. We do not have a Wednesday night service. We have our Maundy Thursday at 7 o'clock, where we enter in sacramentally to the first Eucharist. We wash each other's feet. We entomb the church, prepare us for Good Friday and Easter. It's a powerful time. So it's like this is once a year thing we get to do, and I really believe theologically and personally, experientially, that when we do these things, that biblically the understanding is that we enter into them as if we were the first ones, the ones who were there. There's just a grace that brings you in. It's bigger than just reading about them or reading about them in the Bible. We actually engage. Worship is participatory. So I just encourage you to come Thursday night. And then again on Friday night, we have the Stations of the Cross, the Veneration of the Cross, and while the church is still entombed. And then don't forget to come early Sunday morning and bring the bells. So if you don't have bells, go find extra bells. I'll send out emails this week about bells. But again, do some extra things, extra disciplines. Come to our noon Eucharist. The whole thing will be about Holy Week and the way of the cross, and take advantage of the things that Aaron offers. We need to start taking more advantage of that anyway. It's just part of our rhythm of our spirituality. This is a great beginning of Holy Week for me. For some reason, this service today just sort of pulled me in. I'm really grateful because there's been a lot of distractions, ministry distractions, but still, it's nice to get pulled in, be home, and geared up for what God's going to do. He was so passionate for us. How can we not be passionate for Him, period? But especially in this time called the Week of Passion, and express our love for Him and live sacrificially throughout the week as we get ready for Easter. Amen. Thank you for your prayers. The conference we did in Birmingham was extremely fruitful. And for the first time, I was able to do what I've longed to do, that is morning sessions and then evening sessions. And so a number of people came up and helped us pray for folks, and we saw God do a lot of neat things. People got healed. A lot of people got set free in just their own spiritual life. And I wanted to do the thing on prayer in the mornings, which kind of sort of undergirds everything else that we do, that we're teaching, and it was really awesome. And so, again, thanks for your prayers, and it was a busy week. I'm really excited today because two of my oldest friends, John Holloway was consecrated a bishop on the 18th of April. This April would be 19 years ago. The week later, on the 25th, I was consecrated. And then in August, our buddy Gina was consecrated in the Philippines. And John and I went there as two of the co-consecrators. There has to be three. And so we've been friends ever since. We've been in the CC since 1994. And they're dear, precious, godly people who have been with us over the years. As you know, Gene is the diocesan in the southern part of the Philippines. And we're trying to get him to retire from doing that so he doesn't keep going over there. But over the years, those of you who don't know the story, Gene and Phyllis participated in planting, as missionaries, over 1,000 churches, over 1,100 churches. And that's amazing. And we've had Gene and Phyllis with us a bunch. It's just really good to have them, and especially today, to have them with us. And so it's my blessing and honor to be able to introduce to you our dear, dear friend, Bishop Gene Lilly. So come.
How's it going, George? Yeah, I'm going here. Bless you, brother.
Praise the Lord. He is definitely good all the time and everywhere. I'm rejoiced today to be here because I don't know how to kind of explain this because it's kind of an unusual deal. Phyllis and I probably feel this is more home church than anywhere in the United States. But we live a long ways away. But you've been a very important part of our ministry from clear back many years ago when we was over in the, what was that, Greystone? Before you built the building. Greystone, Chapel, first time that we come, met y'all. And as Archbishop said, we went through ordination process. He came to the Philippines too. That was wonderful. We just lost the cathedral the day that I was consecrated. And so it was quite an experience. But in the last almost, 18 years, we've had a phenomenal time because we were sent to the southern Philippines and there was nothing. Now, if you know anything about the Philippines, that's kind of a Muslim area, very high concentration of Muslims, so it's a lot of people don't go down there because they're scared to go. But I found out years ago that the love of God does away with all fear and anxiety. And I want you young people that's ministering today and going out. You don't have to be young. You can be old, too, if you're 80. Moses was just right. So, you know, there's no escaping it. But particularly if you're young because you got a lot more energy and things and you're able to go. One of the things that happens is that you're always something trying to hold you back, something trying to make you fearful. But it's all on how you approach everything. One of the things that happened was with David. Have you ever thought about David? He's a little guy, a little shepherd boy. Big old Goliath. The whole nation of Israel was scared. I mean, they're scared of him. He's so big, he's so strong. And David walked up and said, "Why are you scared of him? You can't mess. You see, the target's big enough, you can't mess." So David went out and he slayed Goliath. Our perception sometimes of things gets off because God's on your side. So we started out down there. I had one communicant for 3 months. She's sitting down by Olivia. We will soon be married 58 years, and I've drug her all over the world. But God blessed me with a great wife. So we'd go have Mass every Sunday, and we'd work, invite people. Nobody come. But still, you were praying for us. We'd come and preach. You'd give to us help. And then we finally got a couple to come. And a few more, and a few more, and a few more. And today, that work has turned into a thing that is... We started a feeding program with them. Did we get that PowerPoint or not? Huh?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. Yeah, take it up there. Because it's just a thing, I just want to go through it quick. It's not a long thing. I just want you to see some of the results of it. Okay, it's just Southern men now. It's just an introduction. The next one is just some ladies in a native dress, that's all. And there's the church. That's the church in Davao City. And, okay, go on. It's in the middle of an area that's not real nice, but it's where people are. It's in the squatter area. And I'll show you the squatter area, okay? Now, this is the entrance to one of the squatter areas. Don't look bad, does it? Looks real nice. As a matter of fact, 30 of our people live in there. Out of about 90. Six of them are young ladies. They're in 19, 20, that age. Have nothing. Go ahead. And this is their just inside in the hallway where you go in the hall, and just doors and rooms and things, go ahead. There is facilities for about 90 people that you stay clean, and bathroom and everything, which you can imagine what that's like. And next, I think that's walking out in the back, plus that's their common kitchen, the big rice bowl. The girls all sleep together at night in one of them's house up against the door because of the fact they're afraid, well, they're afraid of being raped. That's what it amounts to. Now, what is this, Phyllis? Is that the girls? Okay, that's the music. That's the group that does the music in the cathedral. Go on. Now, this is testimonies. I'm not going to read these to you, but if you want it, I'll be glad to send it to you. It's testimonies of different people. Go on to the next one. These are all the kids. I want Jessa. I believe this is her. Huh? Anyway, Jessa was all these girls come out of the feeding program. When we got a hold of them, they was 2, 3, 4 years old with not enough to eat. And now this is years later, now then some of them have married and had children, and we baptized their babies, we baptized them. But Jess's one is kind of interesting because she was an orphan. Her mother died when she was young. Her stepmother died when she was 12. And at 12 years old, she had 3 brothers to raise. And she raised them. And now she's in college. A couple of people help her through college here in the States, and help her through college. And tuition is not like it is here. It's like $400 a semester for all your courses, so it's not that bad, you know. It can be raised. Then, but anyway, she's going to study in secondary education, and she wants to be an attorney and work with orphans because she was an orphan. And she said, "I understand them." And powerful kids they are. Go on. And on. Next one. I think that's boy. Boy, that testimony, if you talk about bringing a tear to your eye, these testimonies were not taken. These were written by them. We just wanted a testimony from. Boy was 11 years old. His mother said she didn't want him anymore. Out on the street. Wouldn't raise him, wouldn't do nothing. Can you imagine being 11 years old, just throw it out? Well, he came to church. He's lived at the church since he was 11. He's 16 now. And guess what he does? He probably knows more about the church than any of us. He trains the acolytes. He trains the deacons. Could train the priests, probably. But he's a tremendous trainer. He's a good student. Finishing up high school now, which he would have never had a chance to otherwise. But boy is a real classic example of guys that come up and then it becomes success. It becomes sustaining. Go on. Okay, this is the feeding program, some of it. The feeding program is where the little kids, that's good. Little kids, we feed them, and they sit on church pews. Not like these, but they're the plastic so we can wash them. And they're fed. And now the older kids that was in the feeding program do the feeding ministry for other kids. And it's interesting because you find them teaching, I'll guarantee you, this week they're teaching on, this last past week is teaching on Palm Sunday and the Passion. And it's really good because we do it all for about $15 a meal to feed around 60 of them, 50 to 60 of them. And they grow and they learn the Word. They're taught the Word. We have Mass with them every time. So they learn about what's going on up here and around and become part of it. And so it's exciting to see the success. And they do very well taking care of themselves, even in a squatter area where the average wage is less than $2 a day. So that's kind of hard to make a lot of money on. But anyway, they do good sustaining themselves, except when we expand. And then they get in trouble. Because they get all excited about expanding, and they forget to pay the bills back at the cathedral. We recently had a really funny thing happen. We had a new church, a mission church, open up in Mati. First Sunday, we had three baptisms and 50 communicants. So when I go back over, they'll all be brought into the church and become members and confirmed. So it's just exciting. And then in July, we'll be opening a new church in General Santos, which is down to the south. So it's growing all the time. Always challenges. Always things happening that you need help with. We're acquiring property now, some along the way has been given to us. And so I want to encourage you, because it's a success story, not a story of just continuing to need. But for expansion, we do need. And for the feeding program, we need. Another thing is, for the young people here, this morning I had a vision. And I seen young people. Not just in this church, he was up prophesying this morning, but I've seen a multitude of you. Not only in the church, but in faraway places. So don't be afraid to answer the call of God. Don't fear. There's no fear in God. Just get the right perspective on things. And it's easy when you go into bad areas. I mean, when you go into these areas that are squatter areas, life is not simple at all. Morally, it's defunct. Hygiene is defunct. I mean, when you take these people and you start training them, you got to go from scratch. But God is good, because you teach the Word of God to them and they begin to understand they're worth something. They're not just a cast off. Even though their mom and dad cast them off, maybe something else happened, they were cast off. They're not cast off, and they understand that. And once they begin to get the Word of God in them and the Spirit begins to work in their lives, then there's nothing that they realize, there's nothing they can accomplish, because look what God done for us. Now, particularly for young people, in that vision I had this morning of prophesying, I thought about in the early church. You remember when the apostles were the only ones left in Jerusalem, all the believers were scattered. Excuse me. And they all went everywhere doing what? Preaching the gospel and prophesying, healing the sick. Well, they went into areas that were totally contrary to what they believed a lot of times. Well, that happens there. But the thing you can't do is let your perception of where you're going to lose the fact that those are God's people. They're God's creation and they're His people. And what we read about the Passion today is what bought them. You don't have to be scared of bringing them in the kingdom, because they've already been purchased. Already been purchased. I don't care how rotten they are, how bad they are, what they've done. They've already been purchased. So what happens is, you go into them, sometimes we get confused and we look at them and we begin to judge them. And say, well, they'll never make it. It reminds me of a story of a man I knew that was, he went in the airport one day and he was hurrying, but he was ahead. He was ahead of time and he was going in before breakfast, or he wanted to eat, and got back through security and everything. Got back there and He seen a little donut place that had little bitty donuts, like the holes in the donuts that you can buy. Well, he bought them and had a sack of them, and there was no place to sit. And he seen a guy sitting over there, and he said, "Can I sit with you?" He said, "Yeah, it'd be okay." So he set his coffee down, set donuts down, set his bag down. He thanked the Lord for his meal and reached up and got his sack of donuts and pulled them over to him, got one out and ate it, and was eating it. And all of a sudden, the guy he's sitting with pulled that bag of donuts over, reached that bag and got one out and just ate it. And he said, "Well, that's kind of forward." He said, "What's the matter with that guy?" He said, "But that's okay." He said, "I just smiled and went on." He smiled. And he said, "In a little bit, I reached in and got another one. But I pulled the sack over to me a little bit this time because I thought maybe that'll keep him from eating my donuts." Well, he reached in, reached across the table and got the sack and pulled it back a little bit and got him a donut. And started eating, smiled at him. So this went on one more time. He drove clear over there to him this time, the sack. Got his donut out, and he said, "Boy, that guy's kind of rude. I mean, he doesn't do nothing but just smile and eat my donuts." And he said, "I was really getting upset with him." So the flight was called, they ate the third donut, and he drug the bag back over there, and that finished it. So he wadded up the bag, and he threw it away and left, and the guy's plane was called. And in the meantime, he's sitting there smoldering. That guy, he's so awful. He said, "Why would he ever do that and never even thank me or nothing?" And he reached down to pick up his bag, and there was his donuts on the bag. He was eating the other guy's donuts. So see, sometimes we get the perception of things, and we don't get the right perception. And it causes us to get very judgmental. So you can't be judgmental people. You just might have the wrong perception of where they're at. But I see young people going here and there, and older people going there and here and there. But Phyllis and I spent 42 years basically on the mission field, and God is blessed with churches all over the world and churches. And the reason we've been able to do it is because of people like you praying for us and giving and helping us along the way. One of the great things that you've done for us years and years ago, you bought a van for us one time. This church did, and it was really great. It was really used all over the place. So as we continue to grow, and we've got probably 80 home mission Bible churches. They're Bibles, that groups that they teach in. We call them communities, Bible communities. So many of those will become churches or join together sometimes. But they're all basically in squatter areas. So we want to look for the poor and the lost and the lonely, and there's lots of them. You never run out. But I want to thank you and also remember today with Jesus. It's the beginning of Passion Week, but remember everyone cheered, "Hosanna to the highest," as he was on that donkey that was never been rode before. They throwed their palm leaves and blankets and things in front of him as he went in. What a day of rejoicing. A few days later, crucify him. No. See, that happens to people sometimes. They get a great vision. And God's calling them to do things. And then they get scared. They don't think it can be done. They get to figuring how to do it. God never asks you to figure out how. He only asks you to believe. And if you do, you'll see great things happen. I think Phyllis and I have had the pleasure of preaching and helping build churches in over 50 countries in the world. And yeah, it takes its toll after a while, probably, but the Lord, then He renews you. So I'm kind of in the renewal state right now, but I know I'll be, well, there have been a lot of times they gathered around my bed for me to die, and I didn't, so. God's got a reason. It's kind of, Liv and I are kind of in a race. Sometimes they keep trying to bury us, but we don't stay down. But God's good, you know. And it's because of you praying. Not because of us. Because of saints that pray for us. Saints change things in the world. Don't start out to get a big ministry. The one thing I prayed for more than anything when we started, and I say it to young people, don't pray to be Billy Graham the first day. God's smarter than that. He's not going to give you 100,000 people to mess up the first day. He might give you a couple, and if you don't mess them up, He might give you 3 or 4 more. Oh, after I was healed, we had the pleasure of being in a lot of big meetings, television, all that kind of thing. But I knew I was supposed to be on a mission field. And everybody said, nah, you can't go there because nobody will know who you are. Well, it didn't matter to me about who knew me as long as God knew me. And He always has. He's been faithful. Surround us with great, great people. And well, there's nothing wrong with staying in the highest regency in the suites and they're taking good care of you. Big offerings, but God just meets the need anyway. Wherever you are. Whatever it takes. One of the most unusual cases, we didn't have any money one time. We didn't know until some people was coming to visit us. And that's when the guy bought a bunch of fish from us. Because we were just living like the natives. But God's just good. He just makes a way every time. Even when there is no way. I think it's in the Living Bible that David said one time, it's good to be in the corner to see to see how God's going to deliver me this time. It's kind of a challenge sometimes. Hang in there. He'll do it. But don't look for things for, just do things for Him. He got a perfect slot for you. It's not my name that counts. It's His that counts. Doesn't matter how many churches you build. Doesn't matter how many people you lead to the Lord. All that's wonderful. But it's His name that carries them through. So I just encourage you today on this Palm Sunday. It was a triumphant day. Ended up in what? With the resurrection. Today we'll partake of the body and blood of a resurrected Christ today. Flowing through you, the resurrected life of Christ. If that resurrected life is in you, it'll quicken your mortal bodies. And so I encourage you to just partake today. Expect a miracle. Expect a miracle in your life. Every part of it. It's been a pleasure being with you. Did y'all get to meet Phyllis? I'm sorry. Stand up. Stand. Huh? Okay. She's not standing. She's an obedient wife, you know. I know that. I know that. I don't know which one of them was bad. But anyway, it's great being here with you. You're a great church. And I don't think you've seen anything yet to what you're going to see. Just hang on to your bootstraps and away you go. Because God will take hold of you and do marvelous things with each one of you and the church. Hallelujah. God bless.